just not as tall as Marty, and I can't see the...
There we go. Good morning. It's certainly good to be with you this morning, to be able to share a wonderful Sunday morning. I know Brother Ronnie said it was a beautiful, beautiful day, and I agree. We need the rain desperately, and it is certainly an answer to prayer. And it's certainly a wonderful thing to see, and hopefully it will clean out the air as well as water the ground, and some of our allergies that so many of us are suffering from will begin to clear up. So I'm excited about that because I have suffered from it for a couple of months now. So welcome to everyone. I know that we've got a lot of visitors with us. We've got some folks from Virginia. It's good to see Derek and Tammy back. They're visiting with Brian and Sarah. We've got the Luvenders are here. I know some of you have read about the Luvenders in our bulletin, and they are here this morning. So I encourage you to take an opportunity to meet them. We're so very, very grateful for your presence. Yes, sir. It's sort of on. It's still black on my screen, too, so we'll get there. But thank you. We're going to talk some this morning about our responsibility with visitors, so I want to mention that right up front. I don't want to alarm those that are visiting with us that we always talk about you so much, but we are very grateful for your presence. We encourage you to be back anytime that you've got an opportunity to be with us. We want you to feel welcome and to take part. We're very glad that you've chosen to be with us this morning. I want to thank Brother Marty. He is out this week in Kansas City doing a meeting there. That gave me an opportunity to speak this morning, but he had begun last week to speak about some things that we're going to follow up on this week. He spoke about some programs that we want to initiate here with our congregation. And it was my job really this week to follow up with some practical applications in that. And so that's what we want to do this morning, talk about some of the things that we can do as a congregation. And then Brother Sam spoke last Sunday night, and I wanted to mention that. He did an excellent job. He's going to be speaking again this evening, as a matter of fact. But I was very impressed with the beginning of his sermon when he was very humble and asked for the congregation to give him critical feedback. And that speaks very highly of him. And we're blessed to have him among us and to have an opportunity for Marty to work with him and to train him. And I hope that I will have the same kind of approach that you can come to me with anything, that you can say to me what I need to hear, that you can guide me in some of the things that we want to do together as a congregation. I'm very, very excited about this opportunity. Now, this is the first time really I've had an opportunity to speak to you since you hired me. And that is very, very humbling to me. I can't even begin to tell you what an honor that is to me. The encouragement that I've already gotten, the comments that folks have come to me with encouragement and support, it has been overwhelming, and I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate that. I do covet your prayers on my behalf that I would do the right thing, and on the behalf of our congregation here, that the work we continue to progress in will have great, great results. I feel like a professional athlete. I didn't say I looked like one. I said I feel like one in the fact that you've been gracious enough to offer me support in what I love to do. You hear professional athletes say, I'm getting paid to play. Well, we're not playing. This is very, very serious. I understand that. But we will have an opportunity to enjoy, to see a great amount of joy in watching God bless our labors here and give us increase. And I trust that we'll be able to do that together for quite some time. Again, I'm very, very grateful for the opportunity. I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak with you this morning about some of the things that we began last week. It was my assigned task to talk on these things this morning. So I encourage you to open your minds and to kind of brainstorm with me. I certainly am not going to present every idea that is good. And I may even present some ideas that won't work. But I think that together we can begin to become even more evangelistic. And I say that, I've been part of this family now for over 10 years. I don't know the exact date. I could look that up or ask the Haleys. Stephanie probably does a better job of keeping track of things. But I've been among you now, and we've been family together for about 10 years, and we've seen some incredible growth together. And let me say this, first of all, that does not happen by accident. This congregation is extremely evangelistic. There are a lot of things going on, and there are a lot of works, studies that are being done. There are folks that have been conducting studies. There's new studies that have begun that maybe some don't even know about. There is a lot of work that has already been done. And the growth that we see now, even just over the last 10 years, and it goes back farther than that, is phenomenal. God has blessed us and God has given us increase. And I think that our efforts now going forward to even enlarge that opportunity, He will bless as well. I grew up in Central Florida. I grew up primarily over in Winter Haven. My folks are still there. All my family is. I have a brother and a sister. And when I moved over here, I was going to church closer to the college because that's the reason I came to Tampa. And then I moved out here with a few folks that wanted to join this work. And I can tell you without hesitation that was the best decision I ever made. That the love, that the support, this congregation, without a doubt, understands what it means to do the work of God. And that should be exciting for all of us, especially members who are here less time than that, that you have joined forces, that you have put your efforts to task with a congregation that is interested in serving God. And I'll say that because, especially for the sake of any that are visiting with us, it's our desire as a congregation to do only what God would have us to do. We don't look to the creeds of men. We don't look to the books of mankind. We serve a living God, and our living God has given us His Word. It's the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, and that's all that we follow. That's all that we look to. That is our guide. And if that's what you desire in a congregation, a group of people seeking to find the truth only through God, then you're in the right place. Because that's the efforts that we're making. And that's the efforts that we're going to continue to make, that we serve only God in the way that He has given to us, the Bible. I know that there are some studies, and we'll talk in a minute about some practical applications to the lesson we began last week that Brother Marty brought to us. But I know that there's a lot of things that we can do. There's a lot of things that, as I mentioned, that are already going on. There's a study going on Thursday mornings. It's just an open Bible study. And some of you may have an opportunity on Thursday mornings to have some time free to join that study. If you're interested in that, let me know. I can give you some details about that. Put you in contact with the right folks. It's our desire to begin another open Bible study on Tuesday evenings here at the church building. That will not start this week, but probably next week. I'll let you know that specifically. Just for an hour, probably around 7 or 7:30, we'll find out what's best, to where you know that there's going to be folks studying, and you could bring somebody to it, or you can join in that study on a regular basis. That's one of our desires to accomplish. Last week, Marty talked about our two-minute rule. And let me tell you, that was incredible to watch. The enthusiasm, the participation, that doesn't have an R in it, participation, was phenomenal to see with purpose us be evangelistic in that sense, to talk to people, to open up to people, to be hospitable to them. And I know that that made an impact on some folks that were with us. I know that firsthand. We're going to continue to do that. One of the things that we're going to try to include, it'll take a little bit of practice and a little bit of effort, but I think we'll put a note at the bottom of the announcer's sheet that says something that will remind all of us. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. If we will make a 2-minute effort to greet and encourage those folks that we don't know. And I say it that way because a lot of times I have been guilty, because I sit over here usually, of not knowing someone really on a good first name basis who sits over here. Leah, your Bible is over there. So I know that you kind of move around. Oh, you got another one. And that's good for you, but I found it in my pew. So I know your Bible is over there. You move around. But sometimes I'm guilty of not doing that. I have been guilty of introducing myself to somebody on this side who's been here for quite a while, and I didn't know it. I didn't know their name. So I say that 2-minute time period really is not just for us to talk to visitors. That's primary. That's first. That's foremost. But it also gives us an opportunity really to become more familiar with all who worship here. And we're going to continue to do that. It worked wonderfully last week. We'll do that again this morning. We'll continue to do that on a regular basis. We'll put a reminder in the announcer's sheet so that one of the last things he says will remind us all of that. We'll have to have something that's simple for us to remember that by. Visitors' cards, I'm going to introduce a couple of things. I know we've been using a couple of different visitors' cards. And the visitors' cards are a huge, useful tool. We've been tracking them all along. One of our visitors' cards doesn't have a place for email address, so we're going to get that consistent so that, because that's one area of communication now that we can use quite a bit. And there's a lot of folks really that communicate almost exclusively over their computers, either by email or Facebook or et cetera. But nonetheless, we're going to try to get that information captured as well so that we can contact and stay in communication with visitors that way. But our visitors' cards, anytime that you're talking to somebody who is a visitor, make sure that they've got a visitor's card in their hand, that they've had an opportunity to fill it out and give it back to us so that we can communicate with them. As Marty mentioned last week, that does a world of good in our communication with them and our influence with them, that we have been communicating with them on a regular basis, or at least initial basis once they've been a visitor with us. So we'll continue to make that effort as well. Last week, we began with this. Brother Tommy, is it on? Good. All right. I'm not as confident in it as Marty is, so I'll get better at it, I promise. Hopefully Sam will do this most of the time. This is not necessarily my forte. I love talking to people one-on-one. I love finding out a little bit about them. And the most success that I've had, which has been wildly exaggerated, I think, by people giving the announcements and even by Marty, but nonetheless, has come from making friends with people. It's from building relationships, finding out about them, finding out a little bit about who they are, what they like, what they do, where they go to church now, what they think about God, what they think about their own salvation, what they think about heaven. And when I have an opportunity to talk to them about those things, it almost always opens up a conversation about biblical things. And it happens on purpose. That's where I was going with the conversation. I had that in mind when I started talking to them. And I encourage you to recognize we do not all have to be evangelists. Marty said this last week, but we need to be evangelistic. And we want to better define that in realizing that to be an evangelist is to be a preacher, to stand in front and to proclaim God's word. And some have that talent better than others. We're truly, truly blessed here to have Marty, who is a student of the Bible. And I've known a lot of folks that are students of the Bible who do not have the ability to share it as clearly and concisely as he does. We are blessed. We are blessed. And we should even encourage him in that. Sometimes we think, well, he's really good at that, but tell him so. Tell him so. But we don't all have to do that, thankfully. But we do need to talk to people. And the way that that happens is just to begin conversations. We're going to talk some more in later lessons, I guess, or maybe in a class setting or something, about how to begin those kinds of conversations. But I'll give you a clue. Whoever asks questions in a conversation, they are the ones in control of the conversation. And that may sound a little strange because you really don't want to be the one doing most of the talking. You want to be one doing most of the listening so that you can find out how to talk to them, how to approach them, how to have a good conversation based on things they know, based on things that are happening in their lives, based on experiences that they've had. And so you ask them questions about those things. What do you like to do? Where do you like to eat? Where do you spend most of your time? Where did you grow up? Where did you go to school? You find those kinds of common things. If you've got in mind where you want to go with that conversation, so where do you go to church? And you'll be able to talk to them about that. I encourage you just to begin conversations like that. And I want to give a little bit of praise and commendation to the senior high class that I've had the privilege of being part of this particular quarter. We have diligently worked on memory verses. Memory verses so that we would have in our minds things that we could share with people. And the memory verses that we've worked on specifically, I've also included in the bulletin, you've seen some of them, are memory verses that have to do primarily with salvation. Talk to people about those kinds of things. You've already got them on your mind. You've memorized them. You have an idea of what the Bible says and where it says it. And that is the most important conversation we can have with somebody, is the one about theirs and our salvation. So we want to be evangelistic. And begin to make efforts right here where we're comfortable. This is a copy of a page out of the visitor's brochure that we're developing. And hopefully within a couple of weeks it'll be available to us. I was thinking maybe I would have it today finished and just give a copy to everybody. But when it is available, I encourage you to get a copy of it and read through it. This is just one page, and it'll start with welcome visitors. That's our primary goal with this particular tool. Everybody knows what a hammer and nails are, I'm sure. And everybody's familiar with what a house looks like. And we're conscious of the fact that, in general, it takes a hammer and nails, or at least tools, to build a house. But The hammer and the nails are not the house. They're not the finished product. They're not the goal. And this is just a tool. This is the hammer and nails. What we want to do is use it successfully. It's not going to accomplish everything for us, but it might be a piece that helps us start a conversation. And that's really what personal work is about, is talking to people, having conversations, and guiding that conversation in a direction that we want it to go, so that at the end of the conversation, we've accomplished talking to them about the gospel. This is a tool. This page, I don't expect anybody to be able to read all of those things, but it will be hopefully very well done. It will talk about what you could expect when you're in the assembly with us, and what a worship service would look like, and what kind of things that they could expect. It will give them some information about classes. It might have some information about the facilities here. It'll probably have some information about visiting with us and welcoming them back. But that's a tool. That would be something that'll be available to us. We'll use it primarily here in the services. But you can certainly take that with you and use it as well. We already have some of these, and if you don't have any on you, then go ahead and get some. If we need to print some more, we will. That's fine. This is just a little business card. This is front and back. It talks about the fact that we meet here. It gives them an address. It talks about where we're at, a little bitty map that talks about where we are. But it's, again, a tool that gives us an opportunity to invite somebody. You just hand it to them and invite them and say, I'd really like for you to be my guest at our services. And our services are at 9:30, 10:30 for service and 9:30 for Bible study. And it gives us an opportunity to start a conversation. Again, our personal work is really about conversations. Conversations with people that we have relationships with. So, some of the practical ideas. And I just put all of these up there. And in my opinion, this is really the beginning of personal work. Like I said to start with, there is a lot of that going on already among our congregation. And I'm not slighting that at all. I know that from my own perspective, I can do more. And this is where I see my opportunity to start. If I could read my Bible more. We've talked about daily Bible reading a lot. But let me give you a suggestion that I recognized I needed to do. And maybe it'll be helpful to you. Plan your Bible reading with a purpose. It's not just blindly opening it up, or even blindly going through a whole book, but pick a subject, for instance, salvation, and read about that. Study that for a little while. Memory verses. One of the things that we talk about in Bible Lab, and we talked about it in senior high, is that if we spend our time filling our brains, our minds, with godly things, then we'll have less room for things that are not godly. And I'm telling you, this world is full of distractions. This world, Satan has such a hold on it and feeds us things all the time through the media, through school, through friends, through family sometimes. The amount of information that comes to us that is negative and ungodly is phenomenal. If you really stopped to count it all, it would be overwhelming. So how do we combat that? Daily Bible reading, lots of prayer, and memory verses. I think as a society, we've really gotten out of the habit of memorizing things. And I encourage you, as we talked about, I asked some of the students in our senior high class this morning, if I ask you to stand up and quote some of your memory verses. Well, first of all, I said, can you quote some of your memory verses? Oh, yeah. So if I asked you during our services to stand up, no. I don't want to stand up in front of everybody. But the point is, They have learned, if you go into the senior high class right now, the entire whiteboard is filled up with verses that over this last quarter they've been able to memorize. And every one of those verses, we had a purpose. The purpose was that it gave us another tool in a conversation about salvation. That if they had an opportunity to talk to somebody, or if they created an opportunity to talk to somebody, they would have in their mind verses that talked about salvation. Things that were important for that conversation. Things that were important for them to hear their audience, whoever it is they're building this relationship with. And our classes, our Bible classes. Why do we have Bible classes? We talked about this last week. Same reason that we have worship service for one purpose in particular, and that's edification. Our primary purpose in worship is to worship God. And we all have to keep that foremost in our minds. And we're edified by our worship. And in our Bible classes, we have an opportunity to study in depth and come up with answers that God would have us to present to people so that we are practiced at it. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But in regard to our Bible classes, that's why we're there. And so I encourage you to be at every class. This congregation, more than any congregation I've ever been a part of or that I've ever heard about, has participation all the time. We may have more people right now in our worship service than we'll have at other services, but for the most part, the percentage that is not here for our classes is very small. But our classes are for us so that we can practice, so that we can study, so that we can learn, so that we can discuss in a comfortable situation. So be prepared to take part in those classes. Study the material. I'm talking to all of us. Our senior high class, our junior Bible class, our adult class. We all know what we're going to be studying. Let's study that. This is the beginning of personal work. And maybe we've never completely put that together, but our personal work, those conversations, the relationships that we build, will have no basis if we've not studied. We've got an incredible opportunity with phenomenal teachers so that we can be prepared. Let's take advantage of our Bible classes that way. Maybe it is something that we're uncomfortable doing. You might say, yeah, but I feel uncomfortable starting that conversation. And that's fair. Most of us are. Most of us have an aversion to opening ourselves up to that kind of conversation. Two things. One, find out where your talent is. And that's a little bit of self-discovery. And it may even be a matter of asking other people, what do you think I'm good at? Well, who are you going to ask? Ask the people you're familiar with. What am I good at? And sometimes you might be good at something that you don't recognize because you just do it naturally anyway. And somebody might say, you know, you could really develop that. You could be a person who greets at the back of the building. You've got a smile all the time. People love to walk up to you. They feel comfortable greeting or being met by you for the first time. You would be great at our front door. And that's something that we want to accomplish. We've got folks like that. We in this congregation that we're going to try to use their talent in that regard. Or maybe it's something else that you can do. You can invite, you could bring somebody or invite them to come to the services here, so that they hear a lesson about the gospel. They hear a lesson about Jesus Christ and the fact that he died for us and what they have to do to be in a right relationship with God. And that might put them in a position to be saved. And that is the most important thing we can do. But the beginning of personal work is right here. We've got some opportunities to begin to learn how to talk to people. So let me give you a couple of those. Practice on people that you're comfortable with. I have been the recipient of so many letters and notes from so many of you. I cannot even begin to tell you how encouraging that is. You have encouraged me for countless amounts of things. And that is, that kind of attention has helped me through times when you don't even know about, when you struggle. And you pick up a note that's laying on your dresser because you got it in the mail a couple of days ago, and you realize, well, you know, somebody's thinking about me and praying about me, and that's helpful. So here's a whole congregation of people that we're comfortable with, that we could talk to about salvation and about biblical and spiritual things and not feel like we're going to have to answer any questions. So let's write letters of encouragement to one another. That's just an idea. Send emails. And I know a lot of this is going on already. As I said, I'm a recipient of a lot of it. But let's do it some more. Let's become even more comfortable talking to one another about biblical things. Praising each other for good works. Send thank you notes. Again, these are not new novel ideas, but they give us an opportunity to feel as if we're in this conversation that we need to practice. Send letters to our military kids. And I call them kids on purpose because they're young. They're young. We've got Tim and Amanda and Nathan's with us this morning. They are in a situation where the influence is almost 100% negative. It's almost 100% evil. They're in a fight. That's never a great feeling. And they're away from us. And they can't hear us. And they can't participate with us. And they know what we think about biblical things. So let's write them about that. You don't have to write somebody that you're going to end up in a controversy with right away. Let's practice that way. Let's practice talking to one another about biblical things, sending each other encouraging letters, talking to our military. I put Amanda's address. Jenny gave me that this morning, or to put in there this morning. So her address is in the bulletin. I don't think she's on Facebook, but she does have an email address. Tim is on Facebook. We'll get some information from Nathan so that we can stay in contact with them. But they, among all of our members right now, are probably in the greatest danger of all of the negative influence. Let's do some personal work that way. Personal work begins with us, right here. And when we are excited about that, when we're happy about that, when we see the results of that, then it will encourage us, it will bolster us, it'll give us confidence to talk to anybody. And that's really what we want to be able to do. We want to be like Peter, who was thrown in prison. The angel lets him out. The leaders come to him and say, "We told you not to talk about this." And he said to them, "We have to do what God says to do. How could we not share this? We just witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And more importantly, the resurrection. We just witnessed the greatest event in all of history." Can't you imagine Peter being told you have to be silent? He was there when they were trying Jesus, and he denied him, and Jesus looked at him. You know that wasn't going to happen to Peter again.
Because Peter believed in Jesus Christ. Peter believed that Jesus Christ was the answer to everything, that the sacrifice that he had made, that the blood that he had shed, was for our salvation. Do you believe that? I do. And like Peter, if you're so full of that, you can't help but share it. You can't help but tell somebody about it. It's the most important thing to you. It's the most important thing to the person you're talking to. How full of Jesus Christ are you? Only you can answer that question. And the way we become that way is that we fill our minds with it. We read our Bibles every day. We talk to each other about it. We talk to people around us about it. We memorize things that are important to us. We put them in our minds. We become a information source for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We talk to people about it because we can't help but talk to people about it. Now, again, let me back up and say that kind of conversation is not for everyone. I understand that. We all have different talents, and I encourage you to find out what our talent is and to develop that. Don't bury it. Like we talked about before, use shovels and bury our talent. Let's grow it. And the best way that we can is to practice it. And the best people to practice it on is each other. To be able to talk to one another about these things and to encourage one another and to lift each other up and to pray. And to pray. Prayer is going to be the most important thing for any kind of personal work that we're doing. There's a lot of personal work already going on. God bless you for that. There's more that we can do. There's opportunities that we see. We're not going to spend all this morning talking about every kind of opportunity, but there are. There are chances that we can have to talk to people. So I encourage you to fill our minds with Jesus Christ, to read about Him daily, and to grow our love for Him to the point we can't help but tell people about Jesus Christ. The fact that He came to this world. That He left the glories of heaven. That He shared His life with us. That He gave us all of the information to give us the kingdom of heaven. And that He told us specifically, John 3:5, unless you were born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Peter said the same thing again on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. If we know those things in our mind, that's what will come out of our mind. For how a man thinketh, so is he. And let's spend our time thinking about that. It might be that this morning, that's the first time you've heard that Jesus Christ died for you. That Jesus' blood can cleanse you. That it's in baptism, the burial, just like His death and burial, that we come in contact with the blood of Christ. And that just like Paul told the Romans, he was raised to walk new, we can be raised to walk new. And if that's the first time that you've heard that, that is the gospel. That's the good news. The good news is that it's that sacrifice that gives us the opportunity to be saved, to go to heaven, to have the gift of eternal life. You can't have it any other way. It's what the Bible says. And as we started, we are interested only in what God says, only what the Bible leads us in. It's our goal to be Christians. So I encourage you, if you need to be baptized this morning, then this morning is a good time for it. You need the prayers of this congregation while together we stand and sing.